talking about confidentiality issues with small cell data. So it's sort of a real a micro subset of the broader discussion that we're having. And when I'm referring to small cells, this is a this is not real data. It's a table from something I'll mention in a minute. But I'm talking about small cells like these, where there's few cases in a table that results in sort of the combination of rows and columns, a cross-tabulation of rows and columns. And this issue is often sort of mixed up with the issue of statistical small cell issues, but it's not related to sort of the chi-squared thing where the expected value being less than 5 or other issues related to statistical instability. They happen to converge in the terms of small numbers, but they're unrelated issues, really, in terms of conceptually how we need to address them and why the issues arise. But these are small cell issues in terms of confidentiality. And the types of concerns that we have with those small cells are identity disclosure. Can I figure out who a person is based on that small cell? Or in some of the material, and this can reasonably be determined. Am I pretty sure who a person is if I look at a table and see there's only one person in that cell? The other issue is attribute disclosure. It's not the identity of the person per se, but where confidential information about a person can be revealed based on that small cell, sometimes in the context of sensitive or embarrassing information. And the whole issue here is if I know that my friend Bob has syphilis, and I see a table that says that there is one case of syphilis, and that person is a man who has sex with men or is HIV positive, I've revealed information about Bob that he may not want me to know. So an attribute of Bob. But I would have to know that Bob has that condition in order to have that attribute disclosure be a potential problem. There's a lot of literature on this topic, and the resources that Nico and Pat have listed have a lot of good information. On this particular issue related to disclosure in tabular and in line listed data, this document from the Federal Committee on Statistical Methodology, probably didn't know that actually existed, but this Working Paper 22, in particular the version updated in 2005, really lays a lot of this stuff out, and some of the examples I'm going to walk through in a second are from that paper, and it really goes through the thing from beginning to end. This particular document looks a little daunting at first how long it is, but it's not. There's a lot of good material in there, and I would encourage people to take a peek at it, and that's the URL for that document. For the sake of time, I'm just going to skip this slide. The whole point is balancing out risk and getting the information into people's hands that need it. Although I will say, in terms of true versus perceived risk, I am not aware of any release of identity disclosure, or personally not aware of any evidence of attribute disclosure from tabular data having been released in a health department setting. There's theoretical indications of when it can happen. There's lawsuits where they can show theoretically how that information could be released in a way that results in something, some evildoer doing something with those data. But I have never seen it in practice. There are no published reports of it that I am aware of where the small cell tabular data have resulted in harm to an individual. It may well have occurred. I am just not familiar with it. I've never seen any documented evidence of that. But in any case, and actually I should have mentioned, going back to that statistical paper 22, disclosure limitation is the term that's often used. Disclosure limitation or cell suppression using disclosure limitation techniques. But if in a tabular set of data, and I'm not going to be talking about micro line listed data, and there's some similar issues, but I'm just going to be talking about tabular data. If cells are deemed sensitive based on some type of rule, then you need to alter the underlying microdata that would have generated that table, or change the table somehow. And there's a number of different rules out there, and they vary widely in terms of, well, how do I decide is that particular cell or that table subject to some problems? There's numerator rules, where if the cell is less than 3 or less than 5, there's many rules out there. And they're not interpreted consistently, as Jeff's going to talk about some, I think. There's population denominator rules, that if the table, the underlying population is less than a huge number, like 20,000, which is sort of a HIPAA-based rule, don't release it. Or if it's less than 50 is a rule that's out there often I've seen, don't release it. Then there's numerator and population denominator rules. If the numerator or the cell count is greater than a certain number and the denominator is greater than a certain number, in those instances, then we're okay releasing it, not otherwise. And then there's population denominator minus the numerator rules. How big is the underlying population for a particular cell minus the number of events of the cell? And that's a rule that Missouri use. And you'll see that that's one that I'm in favor of in particular. But in terms of cell suppression, there's a lot of techniques. Sam alluded to this very briefly, but there's simple cell suppression. Then it gets more complicated from that, and it's listed very clearly, again, in that Working Paper 22 document. But I'm just going to talk, for example, about the simple cell suppression. But the random rounding, controlled rounding are all more sophisticated methods than simple cell suppression that retain somewhat more data than simple cell suppression. But they have a cost where you're perturbing the data somewhat, so it's not exactly the real data, but you can still make the same sound conclusions from those perturbed data. But again, here's the table that I showed in the beginning. And these are the small cells. If we were using a rule of three or smaller being of concern. So one thing to do would be just to suppress those particular cells. And the problem with that, you don't have to be sort of as smart as my co-panelists here to know that this particular cell, for example, you could easily get by subtraction. And then you could go forward from there and get other cells by subtraction. So the simple suppression, while may help a little bit, doesn't get you very far if you're really trying to avoid people being able to figure out who's who in those cells. So you could consider some simple and complementary row and or cell suppression, where in addition to those particular cells, you suppress some cells next to them. Well, you may have to be as smart as some of these people, but if you're good at sort of Sudoku or that type of thing, you may realize that, say, this particular cell, by linear combinations, you can determine that that actually is one. And then if you can do that, even though there was the complementary suppression, then once you get that one, you can go sort of tier down the line. So this actual mode here, which looks quite similar, but is also simple and complementary suppression, this particular configuration of the table, you cannot. As good as you may be at Sudoku, with this one, you cannot figure out, you cannot go back and reconstruct any cells. And as Jeff is going to talk about, I think there's software and other techniques to figure out, is this one of those protected kind of configurations or not? So in terms of an example of this, we have, in terms of this balance from before, getting data into the hands of people that need it, for all 61 local health jurisdictions in California, basically counties, we have a drop-down list that for any recent year, you can go and get data like this, sort of graphical data on chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis by race, ethnicity, age, broken down by gender and time trends, because we feel like our partners want these data. To understand their local epidemiology and to work with their prevention partners in those areas. And in addition, we have behind each one of those is a detailed data table. So we have a two-page sheet on our website, the graphs I just showed you and this detailed data table. Well, the question is, are these data subject to those problems that I've just outlined? So this happens to be for Los Angeles, and I just want to show your age, syphilis, and population. I'm kind of blowing up here so you can see it. And I think I have, yeah, there's a one. So by any kind of numerator rule, we would say, well, that should not be released. That's going to be a small cell no matter what. But the underlying population is 394,000 people. It's inconceivable to me how that release of saying there's one early latent female syphilis case in that age group can lead to any kind of adverse outcome. With the additional availability of data on the internet, with sources of information that are out there, people talk about triangulation, using other data sources to sort of identify that, but based on what I know, what I've read, I can't conceive of how releasing that one has any potential for an adverse outcome. So in that spirit, our suppression rules are not based on the numerator, the much more common rule, the much more common numerator rules that a lot of entities use. Ours are based on a numerator minus denominator rule, at least for now. We're saying if the numerator is not equal to zero, because it's zero, that's a really small cell, but there's no real risk there if there's a zero. So if it's not equal to zero, and the denominator minus the numerator is between 0 and 100, then we will suppress that cell and we'll suppress any complementary cells necessary to maintain that confidentiality, or we'll just suppress all the insides of that table, which may be easier than figuring out whether any Sudoku experts are going to be able to get back at that cell of interest. So with that rule in mind, this is a intermediate-sized county, Fresno. Well, big county by most, almost 500,000. But there's a number of small cells there, but no suppression needed as far as we're concerned. Here's a fairly a much smaller county, less than 10,000, small cells again, but the denominator minus the numerator doesn't meet that criteria of less than 100, so no suppression necessary. Now here's a very small county, by California standards, and just a couple of cases and some very small denominators. So this would lead to suppression of the entire, our rule has been led to suppressing the entire table, just to keep it simple. This is another example which sort of came up in preparing this talk, where here there's only one case, and we can tell that these are the only population denominators where our rule could have been invoked. So we're realizing that there may be a minor problem with the rule, because it's really clear that it's one of these two cells that has the one in it based on this denominator rule. So we're, because of this occurrence, we're considering some minor revision to the rule to be extra cautious, if you will, perhaps. So that was all based on the notion of identity disclosure, because there's no attributes about that, about those individuals that are sensitive in those. I mean, age for some people is a little sensitive, but we don't normally think of that as a sensitive attribute. But in these tables in the past, you can see it's 2004. Well, I don't need this since I'm pointing to it with that. We had syphilis data as well, showing, as I mentioned before, the gender of sex partners or sexual orientation and HIV status. And we sort of tried to apply the same suppression rules, where here, since there was only three cases, clearly the suppression rule would be invoked because that becomes the denominator now. And so we suppressed it. But we felt like in the environment that we're in, for a number of reasons, we have just discontinued including these data on the website at all, and encourage our local partners to sort of call us and work with us if they want that specific information. So our recommendations are to use the rule that I just mentioned, a denominator minus a denominator minus a numerator rule. To us, it makes much more sense than a numerator-only rule. Not sure what the history is of how it's been so common for the numerator-only rules to be in practice, in play, but to us, these make much more sense. And this, by the way, is arbitrary. This 100 is meant to be arbitrary and conservative. We like the Missouri rule. They presented it and published on it. It makes a lot of sense. So we just went way higher than 10 and went up to 100 and feel that by and large that meets our needs. So I want to, any super quick questions, but really I want to, Jeff should just take over here unless there's any
questions.
Okay.